Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge Rivals 3 of Her Hot Butt podcast. And for those of you who don't know me, I am Brian Cohen. I am the co-host of the show, and this is my co-host, Ayla Escher.
Sorry, I didn't expect you to go off the script. No, that was good. Yeah, if you don't know me, I'm laughing at Brian for a change. How are you, Brian?
I am doing great. Challenge is back, so that means things are going very well in my life.
God forbid this get canceled. I don't know what you would do.
I go back and watch seasons I missed.
Oh, yeah. No shame in that.
No shame. Shane.
So I am enjoying a delicious Friday de Mayo margarita because we were supposed to be podcasting on Thursday. And after I made a big thing about inviting everyone to my virtual margarita party, we didn't record yesterday. So if you are celebrating Sunday de Mayo by listening to this podcast, cheers.
Cheers.
How was your Cinco de Mayo?
It was fantastic. I enjoyed the margaritas, enjoyed everything you're supposed to enjoy with Cinco de Mayo. I did lose a softball game before, so that wasn't as fun. But the afterwards was more fun.
So what you're telling me is you canceled on our podcast to go party?
It was a previous commitment and I couldn't back out.
That's not true. All right, let's move on.
It's true.
So we have a boatload of corrections from last week, but the only ones that stuck out to me, thank you for all of your corrections. We responded on Twitter, but the two ones I want to point out, one, and if you have any you want to point out that are different from this, I want to renege a little bit on my pick for Who Goes Home, because it might be a little bit of a spoiler, so I just don't want to, I won't like say it explicitly, but someone graciously brought it to our attention that Nelson will not be replacing someone. Nelson will be with somebody else, replacing an entire team.
Right.
So, and I did go back and watch the, what's it called? The promo? What is it called when they show a clip?
The trailer?
The trailer again? Yeah, thank you. And I see what you're saying now about Tony. Like, I warned you before.
Yeah.
So, definitely someone who got in trouble before. I think your guess is a fair guess. I'm not going to just jump on that.
I have a new contender now, though, but I guess we can get to that.
Okay. Is it Brandon?
No, well, okay. Now it's Nate, but.
Okay. So more on that in the future. So thanks whoever pointed that out. And we omitted Christina from our draft.
Which is amazing.
Which I went back actually and listened. I had to listen to twice because I wrote down, you know, the rules and the people, the players on each of our teams. And then I lost that paper. So I had to go back and do it again. But not only did we omit Christina, but we tried to draft Nate two times. You called for Nate after I'd already picked him, and yet his partner, Christina, went undrafted.
Oh, poor Christina.
Unless you have any objection, I award Christina to your team because I left the draft with one more person.
That's perfectly fine.
I don't think we should go back and alter anything except you just get Christina.
No, but it was really funny when people were saying you forgot Christina. I thought they meant like we just forgot to discuss their team, which was definitely, I thought like, oh my God, that's really bad. It was on the draft. I'm like, oh, whatever. Who cares? That means it's the last pick.
And in fairness to us, MTV basically forgot her too because they gave like Brianna and Christina one introduction.
Yeah,
so
they were one person.
We're on the same page as MTV. And then last thing I'm going to say, and then we'll get to the show at some point. I want to give a shout out to the person who left us our first 5-star review of the season. And I want to do it at the top of the show because it was like one of the best 5-star reviews I've ever read. So thank you so much. You know who you are. Chile 508. Really thoughtful, really nice. Thank you so much. Everyone else, feel free to do whatever you want. You can subscribe at robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes and leave some information there.
Yeah, good call plugging that in the beginning. I feel like we should start doing that more because I feel like a lot of people probably stop listening by the time I remind them where to subscribe. So that's a good job. Good job by you.
I plugged it all last season in the beginning.
I don't remember last season.
All right, let's move on.
So should we start with the tease of jumping out of the airplane or Banana getting the house to himself?
Well, do you want to start with Bananas going in and then say 5 minutes later, earlier, and then go back to the tease of the airplane?
Yeah, teasing something that's going to happen the next day is a weird move by MTV.
there are a lot of times that I like this flash forward setup. This was not one of those times.
I'll say this. This is better than the flash forward Are You the One does, where they flash forward to like the episode before the finale. Here's what's going to happen. Like, this is better than that, but it's still like kind of useless.
Yeah, I mean, marginally. The only advantage is there was no real spoiler in this one. And Are You the One likes to flash forward to spoilers. But yeah, I did not enjoy this. And just in general, as we move into like the whole editing of this beginning scene, the whole just the way this was presented, a lot of strange choices in this episode, different from prior seasons. Will Simon says, what was with some of the editing choices this episode? Having the contestants walk into the house at the start rather than everyone coming into the elimination area to meet TJ, everyone getting individual confessionals to introduce themselves. This premiere felt extremely refreshing.
It was refreshing in one sense, but I found it a lot of wasted time in another, because I looked at the timestamp and it was 45 minutes in before anything new really happened in this show. Because all it was people walking in the house, we got their introduction, and then TJ announcing the teams, we got their introduction. And that was half the episode. And that's stuff we all knew going into the season.
Yeah, the only reason to have a 90-minute premiere is to spend 30 minutes on the setup and then get to a real episode. The fact that we left here without an elimination after 90 minutes.
Or even a deliberation. We're at the part where we would only be halfway into a normal episode.
Yeah, and I agree with you totally. Like, I don't know why we needed each person's individual full origin story. I also felt like it didn't really give that much information. And I know we've seen all of these seasons that they've been on, but even people who are new listeners or new to the show tweeted us questions about the person's prior season. Mm-hmm. So it didn't even answer the important questions.
Right.
And so it was just literally wasted time.
And they did it twice. Like, I understand you have to, like, announce the teams and like let like people who don't follow this and be like, all right, who are these people, and give a little background. But I feel like they did it twice and they did it incomplete both times. So
I actually did like this shot of Bananas coming into the house by himself.
I like the fact of they give, like, I don't know if this is a thing that they did, but I like giving the veterans like the better situations in the house. I think they should do that more often and have like the rookies have like the worst living conditions.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we saw the actual order they arrive, but if we did, then they didn't really stick to it, because Christina and Brianna enter before Wes and Sarah.
Right.
So it's not like it was like a veterans rookie thing. Like, I feel like they like grouped specific people together. And then I love how in one time we just get like the extraneous girls and the extraneous guys, yep, in like one lump sum.
And how about Tony getting his own entrance? Like, he's been on the show for 3 episodes and he's getting his own final entrance. Like, what a megastar.
Well, was that a setup? Like, did they want him to be in a room with all girls?
It has to be, right? It's so, I mean, as I said, this is like perfectly Tony. The fact that he would be in a room full of all girls and probably has 2 more kids on the way.
One thing I want your opinion on, if I'm reading too much into this, I guess if I'm giving Bananas too much credit. But so Bananas gets in the house and he gets like the only king bed in the house. Shocking. And he basically is controlling or attempting to control who comes into his room. And otherwise he's banishing people to the basement.
Right.
And Nani and Camilla come in, who we're not really sure where they stand with Bananas. But from this episode, I feel like everyone seems to be in a good place. The three of them. Mm-hmm. Time will tell. He immediately physically rejects them from the room. And is that A, because I do think partially he finds them annoying and doesn't want to live with them. But B, I want to say that he's sort of calculating, like, they would be good people to have in the other room, be my eyes and ears on the other side. Because where are his other, like, real strong allies here? Probably Camilla and Nani. Leroy.
I wasn't even thinking about it. I just thought he just didn't want to live with them. I thought he I want to live with Leroy. And I guess apparently him and Johnny are friends. I didn't know that. But I guess he wants to live with those people. And that's all I read from it. I did not think that he's trying to be deliberate of placing his allies throughout the premises.
It is smart, though.
It is smart. It is. No, that is smart. I just, that did not click in my head as a reasoning.
Happenstance.
Yeah.
But from the looks of it, like, Johnny, Riley, Bananas, and Leroy are going to be in a room all to himself. I mean, who got banished? Nate got banished. Those girls got banished. Wes and Sarah got banished. Is there even room for anyone else? And there were a lot more beds than people.
Yeah. And the whole complex didn't really make sense. Like, normally they're all either close. It seemed like there are really, like, big designated areas where if you want to go to see someone, it's like a far walk.
Yeah, it was the nicest house, though, we've seen. I agree with the I mean, they would know better than we would, but if my memory serves me at all, this was actually a house you'd want to live in.
Well, maybe it's just a new house, because wasn't there people saying that they repeated the house last year from a previous season? So they probably just had leftover trash from the last time they used it. So maybe this is just a completely, like, new house.
Ooh, leftover trash. Tell me how you really feel. You know who won't be taking out that trash? Your boy Leroy. I know. He got a promotion.
Yeah. He's now dealing with Britney Spears, and she's a legend. I don't know if you know that.
I have to tell you that Anna Jose pointed this out on Twitter today to me, and, like, I didn't even notice that Leroy is now a bartender. Like, I didn't make the connection about the garbage man thing, because my immediate reaction was like, wow, so he's telling me exactly where I can find him right now in Las Vegas. Like, I just had a complete stalker reaction.
I think Leroy's would welcome anyone to come say hi to him. I don't think he's shunning anyone away.
To those of you who have not met me in person, disagree. No, I'm kidding. So yeah, any other, like, highlights here from these intros for you?
I thought Ashley kind of gave a good introduction to herself as someone who didn't really have much of an impact or long impact in Real World. She kind of really made a good name for herself early, and it stuck throughout the episode. So she was the one standout of the intros, and she had her own intro as opposed to the other rookie girls that were all in groups together. So.
Yeah, I think I agree. I'm actually excited to see more from Ashley. Definitely more excited than I was when I first heard of her when I first heard that she was going to be on the show. One thing I just want to point out. So Wes and Sarah come in and basically are saying they don't know the theme. And it just reminded me, we also got a tweet that basically it's BS that Sarah claims she didn't know it was co-ed rivals, because Bruno, as we were talking, like, why aren't Sylvia or Violetta or Bruno on the challenge? Apparently Bruno was invited and then bailed when he heard that it was going to be Sylvia or Violetta with him. Mm-hmm. So who do we believe, Brian? I don't know what to think anymore.
I think they always know the theme. It always trickles out.
Which goes back to, and there's more on the Brain Candy podcast later in our conversation. More Brain Candy podcast to come. But it's basically just goes back to that whole thing. It's like, you don't know what to believe when you're hearing it from someone on the show. And, you know, Sarah last week, for anyone who didn't listen to the preview, or last week we talked about Sarah saying she didn't know it was co-ed rivals. And she also said that when the show airs, it's the first time that she sees it, which we know for Are You the One is not the case. So it's almost like, I don't know, I'm going to take with a grain of salt what she's saying on these podcasts.
Yeah, and that's not the case when they do the after show. I guess I don't know when they film the after shows, but they see those episodes ahead of time and they film them ahead of time. So that's definitely not true.
So who can say? One thing I want to know about on the subject of Sarah and Bananas. I mean, it's really hard because actually I'm a big, and someone tweeted this at me too, I'm a big Sarah fan usually, and I'm totally still on her side with this whole Bananas bullshit. Mm-hmm. But after listening to two of her podcasts, it's almost like I don't like her either. Like, I just, it's making me less sympathetic to her because she's kind of doing the same thing on a podcast.
Yeah, I didn't listen to it because I saw some feedback saying, like, of how ruthless it was, and I didn't really want to do that, the popping of your moment, like when you think of, like, someone and then it ruins your thoughts on them. I like the Sarah that I have in my mind, and I don't want to ruin that, so I'm not listening to that podcast. I made
you
my
just
decision.
Didn't want to make the time.
Well, that's
but no, that sounds good.
But also,
I don't blame you. Actually, it's like making it, I don't know if it's, it's almost making the Banana Sarah garbage more tolerable, because it's not like I feel like she's totally innocent, but it's also just, I mean, mildly more tolerable.
Yeah, and it's not tolerable for me, so I'm glad you're a little more.
And then, so with the Bananas and Sarah stuff, let's open this can of worms.
I'm already sick of it, and it's been one episode. Like, I can't, this better not be a recurring theme, and it's going to be, and it's going to be the worst.
I was like, that's nice of you to think.
Yeah, it's like, we get it, Bananas, you're pissed, but, like, literally a season has passed in between. Like, get over it.
You know what I'm excited for this season? It's like, so a lot of times, it's like how TJ says, when you make a first impression, like, that's it. Mm-hmm. And with podcast opinions, it seems like people really lock us into our opinions no matter what we say the opposite of. So, right. Like, I've gotten a lot of that with Bananas. Like, even when I say something nice about him, people still say shit on him unfairly. And people were tweeting, like, can't wait for Allie to, like, rip all over Brian for all this Banana stuff. And it's like, last season, you were, like, really not on Team Bananas.
No, I was 100%.
But no matter what you say, you're going to get a taste of it now, yeah. No matter what you say.
It's like they think I'm the one channeling Bananas to say that stuff. Like, no, I could, like, I disagree with him. I still very much disagree.
Listeners, please continue to berate Brian over his unconditional love for Bananas.
But yes, you will own me throughout the season before this.
So when he says, they show a flashback to Bananas saying on the after show, she'll never win again because she did this. Mm-hmm. Now, are they foreshadowing a Sarah Bananas win, or are they just showing how ironic it is that now her next challenge is with Bananas? So if she's never going to win, then he's never going to win.
Yeah, I think it's more the latter, or even simpler. I think they just wanted to show the background of how much they hated each other. And I think that was just the line that they used. I mean, if they win, we can go back and be like, oh, this is, but we can go look at it either way. Either if they win and be like, oh, see, this was the line saying that they would win. And if they lose, Bananas would be like, see, no, he was actually right. She's not going to win because they lost this time. So, I mean, it's whatever the result date is going to be what we look from that line.
Yeah. I mean, we still have to podcast though. So speculation. No, I agree. That makes sense. The other thing is, like, the editing was hilarious. So, like, when Bananas is going on saying, like, it makes him nauseous, it's the shadiest, most calculated, most backstabbing, horrible move, they keep, like, zooming in it more and more. Do you feel like MTV is on Bananas' side or mocking Bananas? Because I can't really tell where production stands on this.
Yeah, I don't have a good read, because the way I viewed that, I felt they were kind of mocking him. They were, like, going so over the top that it was, and like saying like, but it's like, this is what you've done, this is more what you've done, this is what you've done, this is what you've done. That's kind of like the vibe that I got.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I thought at the reunion for that finale, or the reunion for that season, was handled terribly, that it did really seem like they were on Bananas' side. But now I'm seeing, like, I mean, Bananas is just looking like a baby. We all hate the story, but he's not looking as bad as I feel like they could make him look. So I don't know if they're, like you said, I can't get a good read on it.
And Sarah's confessionals, she may have gone wrong in, like, that podcast, but in her confessionals, she's always been pretty logical and sound with her arguments, that she hasn't come off as, like, a petty bitch in any of them. Like, she's come off as...
Ooh, I never said she was a petty bitch.
I'm saying, like, the people that would be on Banana's side, that's how they would view her. But she's totally keeping, like, a sound, level head in all of her confessionals. That even more so adds to the fact that I think MTV is depicting her as being in the right.
Speaking of sound, level head, we get our first moment of douchebaggery from Brandon on his entrance, which is basically just, I'm much smarter than everyone and no one can beat me.
That's what I expect. And the same thing with Devin. He's basically said the same thing when he had his entrance. Like, that's the character they played in Are You the One? And that's what they're going to play in the challenge. So,
I totally agree. But, like, I felt like this was a little bit of a different brand, and we'll get more into it if you have questions about it. But, like, this, right, when I first saw this line, I was like, oh, that's totally innocuous. That's, like, why I hated Brandon from his bio, but then, like, learned to like him as the season went on. But I feel like he kind of turned a corner here.
Turned the corner is to being more of a douche?
Well, I don't, what do you think?
I thought he's the same old Brandon.
Ooh, all right. Well, let's wait. I'm jumping the gun a little bit, but I'm interested to hear more about that. So Cheyenne has an amazing line here, which basically says that everyone thinks she's nice or whatever, but her parents taught her to pick up a brick and smash you in the damn head. Just in the head. I wrote damn as a note. Damn, Cheyenne.
Love Cheyenne. I'm so happy she's on the show. I kind of forgot how great she was because of how, like, I did not really like that Are You the One season, but she is fantastic. She is so funny.
I'm worried, though, because, like, she has a couple of great lines in this season. I mean, in this episode. But because she's so deadpan and because she's so generally reserved when she says these lines, I feel like it is forgettable.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
You need, like, the longer time span to really understand that that's who she is. And if they're only on for, like, 2 or 3 episodes, which is definitely a possibility, like, she may be totally forgotten about.
Yeah, you challenge viewers. You don't know her like we know her.
Yeah, I mean, she was on for 10 episodes and I almost forgot about her.
And then what stood out just out of this next like random group of guys is just Corey is single, I believe, for the first time since he's ever been on MTV. And yet he's never not hooked up while on TV.
So this would be the one time he doesn't hook up.
That's not what the bios would have you believe.
Sure. Well, they also said to be describing Jamie as a veteran. So who the hell knows?
And anyone else you're feeling gave something interesting here?
No, just Jamie looks jacked. And I'm pretty sure it was not just from working out in the off season. But shout out to him.
Yeah, I think he called Wes's former supplier.
Yeah. He took Wes's muscle mass off him in the past and put it on him.
Yeah, not a great look. Jamie was cuter definitely on his first season, but that's not what Ashley would say. Yeah. So who am I to judge?
Not Ashley.
Simone here, I'm kind of upset with Simone this episode because like she has this reputation for being totally annoying. Thomas is like talking so much shit about her that it's uncomfortable, but she looks phenomenal. I feel like she is 100% the most improved person from their original season. Like, she got in shape. She looks, I think she looks great, especially if you go back to how she looked when she was on Are You the One? And she has a great line here, which I, like, want to get tattooed on my forehead, which is that she's trying to be more zen, but people piss her off, and it's hard. And that's, like, the story of my freaking life. I'm trying, but everyone just pisses me off.
It's everyone else's fault you can't be zen.
It's like me, Randy, and Simone. It's like we're the brain trust.
That's a dynamic trio right there.
But yeah, so Billy Gross says, speaking of Simone, now that we've seen part of the Simone and Thomas fight, I'm jumping all over the place. I don't even care. Okay, so I'm jumping ahead. But so we got to see the water throwing, the beer pong throwing. Alleged 14 glasses thrown. I call bullshit on that.
I call three, but sure.
Somewhere between 3 and 14.
Right.
So now that we've seen part of the Simone and Thomas fight, is it still a stretch to pair them up?
The stretch wasn't that the fight happened. Like, I believe the fight happened. The stretch was that we never saw it. So, I mean, I guess now it's more believable, but that, like, they were paired up before we ever saw this fight. So that was the stretch.
It's also making it seem like more of a stretch because Thomas is like full blown attacking her in every confessional. Like, I almost feel like the producers are like, look, you're lucky you're even here. You don't have a rival. You better talk shit about her.
I also don't like Simone, though. I don't need to see her. Like, she was like one of the Are You the One people I did not need to see on the show.
Yeah, I'm surprised she's back. And that's like all I have to say about it.
Yeah.
Oh, the last thing I want to say about these, I mean, it's like we're doing 1,000 minutes on this 1,000-minute intro, but what can we do? We have to talk about what they give us. When Tony comes in and he's in the room full of girls, this is the first time we see of this like flirtation happening between Jess and Tony. Jess says, if it had to be any of the dudes, at least it's you. Please explain. Please give me some background. When have you hung out? When have you seen each other? Have you hooked up? More, please.
I think she just doesn't know who he is. Because then she goes to say, like, oh, you'll just be looked at as one of the girls because we all have boyfriends. Like, no, Tony's going to try to hook up with each and every one of you. Like, if you've interacted with Tony for 10 minutes, you'll know that that's what he's going to try to do.
I felt like it was Tony expressing, like, he's nervous about it. And she was like reassuring him. But still, yes. It's like, cause Tony doesn't even know himself. So fair. But also later Tony says, like, I drunkenly told you I love you. And we've heard in passing Jess having rumored to have hooked up with and hung out with Jay. So I feel like Jess makes the rounds sexually. I mean, just like makes the rounds and hangs out with this kind of crew outside of the show.
Well, wasn't there the rumor that she hooked up with Trey also? And then like that broke up Trey and Laura. Wasn't that a thing?
I have not considered Trey and Laura in many, many years, even when they were on the show.
But that was a thing,
sure,
right?
Maybe. I can't verify that.
I think it was her. I remember someone hooked up with Trey and then they all hated her because that like broke up him and Laura. And I think it was Jess.
I mean, I would trust you on that for sure. But no, great. No surprise.
That'll be a fact check for next week, though.
Yeah, please let Brian know if he's wrong about that. No, I'm kidding. That sounds right.
No, please do, because I want to know. Like, I know there's someone there. I think it was Jess, but I'm not 100% sure.
So I don't know. There's definitely a backstory between them. Like, you don't just like walk in and have that kind of rapport, having never spoken before.
Right.
So if someone could let me know more information on that, I am shocking. I've never been more interested in a relationship between two people I'm less interested in individually.
Well, there you go.
So, you know, thank you. All right. Could we address this toast?
It was, I mean, if we could address it as saying it was awful, sure.
Yeah, I'm willing to say it's the worst toast ever made on television in history.
I don't know what any of the words mean. Like, that it was so I don't even know what the word is. That's how bad it was. It was really bad.
Yeah, I agree. It was incoherent.
That's the word. It was so perfect that I couldn't pronounce it properly while trying to say it. How about that for irony?
No, I totally agree with your frustration and your, like, I believe did he use the phrase bloodlet, as in like bloodletting, the like old apothecary like method of like bleeding people to heal them? Like, is that what he said?
Blood twice. And was that in reference to bloodlines from last season?
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to keep saying how awful it was.
Please.
Why did they throw water in his face? Was that because of how bad it was? Or was that part of the toast? Was that part of the gag? Like, I still don't understand.
I believe he said many have bled for it and blood led for it, which I thought he said let, like blood let for it, like, which would just be bleeding again. I need some clarification on this.
We all need the bleed, I guess.
I don't know. Pass on that. I think we need to like pass the torch here.
Yeah, I was gonna say someone needs to take over the toasting role. Didn't Leroy have a good one last year? Like, it was like 2 seconds.
Just don't put me in.
So much better. Yeah,
if you put me in, I'll kill you.
Yeah, boom. Much better than anything Banana's done the last 2 seasons. He needs a new toast guy.
I mean, it's not that hard. Like, you know, you're gonna. It's like making a fire on Survivor. If you're Banana's, put some words together and be prepared when you stand, especially if you're gonna make such a scene. He stands up, you know, he was like, oh yeah, fill your cups, so, like, throw water at me at the end, that'll be great.
Yeah, and he says like this is a challenge tradition, like he says, like, all right, this is what I do to start every year. Like, just come up, it doesn't have to be long, just 5 seconds, that's all it needs to be. Just give us a good 2 sentence toast.
Whoa, Brian, I just got a message from TJ.
What does it say?
Is it, we're like going T-Mobile skydiving.
Is it like your T-Mobile sidekick?
Did you think it was so bizarre that they like said what it was? Like, is this the first clue that actually said you're gonna be skydiving? That's it, thank you, goodbye.
Well, this is also like the first thing they've ever done that had no bearing on the game ever.
Yeah, we have a question about that. My favorite thing was Leroy is just like my spirit animal, because he's like, immediate reaction, why would anyone do that?
And I totally agree. I don't understand why anyone would jump out of a plane.
You're not a thrill seeker, Brian?
No, I like being on the ground safely.
Agreed. Nothing else to say, but agreed. Yeah. So I guess, should we just skip? We had some other. See, it pisses me off when they're disorganized on the show, because it's like, we have to podcast with some organization, MTV. Like, couldn't you consider that when you're putting this together?
Nope. Even their fantasy game is not even organized.
Although I do think we should have given points, and no changes will be made, but I do think we should have given points for who reads the T-Mobile clue, or not T-Mobile, but the clue from TJ.
We could do that now. I don't care.
Nope.
Doesn't change later, we'll just draft value.
Nope. Because okay. I have a very committed Excel spreadsheet.
Do I have Sarah or do you have Sarah? I think I have Sarah, right? Don't I have Sarah?
I think you have both Sarah and Bananas. Yeah. But it has nothing to do with that.
No, I know. I know.
All right, so we get Jenna giving her classic ditzy lines. The whole episode, she's like, oh, is Mexico an island? You know, I thought you'd like that.
Jenna's a rock star. She's a rock star.
So Adam Rita wants to know, will the edit continue to focus on how much of an idiot Jenna is for the third straight season, only to have her make an appearance in the final again? She really can't be that bad at the game, it seems, based on her record.
See, her being an idiot is not the edit in my mind. That's just her. Like, that's not edit. Like, that's saying, like, oh, is it editing someone to look like a jerk? Like, you're a jerk. Like, that's what they're going to show. Like, she says these things. They're not splicing them together. And if anything, that probably makes her better at the show, because she's always underestimated by anyone's account.
Can you show me, like, 5 winners in the entire history of the challenge that weren't idiots? Like, I mean, I'm an idiot too. Like, I'm not trying to hate on them, but like, this isn't like, are you smarter than a 5th grader or Jeopardy? It's a challenge.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, she does get, I think she's really coming into her own this season. Like, I'm actually really happy to see Jenna again. And I've been pretty lukewarm on her up until now.
She may be my favorite person on this show.
I think she was last season, didn't you?
I may have said that, and now it's carrying over already. She's great. And she's like, all like, we keep saying like, oh, well, you know, she's not competing against a Laurel or an Emily, so she can't be like one of the best. But she's getting, like, she's dominating now. Like, every season, she's getting better and better and better at these challenges.
I just love that it's like I'm podcasting with a different Brian every season. Like, I may have said that. Winter me may have said it. Summer me did not say it. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, no, I agree. Like, she's definitely been training in the gym. I mean, if you follow her on Twitter, because you have a podcast, so you have to look at their tweets. She, like, is in the gym every single day. I mean, it coincides with her modeling career, so it works out for her. But yeah, I mean, this is what, if you don't get a job in a bakery, the plus side is your body doesn't look like you work in a bakery.
That's right.
So good for Jenna. Oh, yeah. We had the meeting of the Brain Trust next. The Are You the One get together.
Yeah, Brandon wants
Dream
something.
Team.
Brandon wants something. Yeah, that's the group that's going to take over the game. Yeah, Brandon wants something to do with it. At least we got a little hint. I was worried we weren't going to get any hint to the Brandon Christina thing. So, I mean, that is going to be at least a mini story for this season.
Yeah, do you want to catch people up on that if they blacked out during this episode?
Sure. So Brandon and Christina were together in Are You the One? And after the season, they tried to stay together, but he cheated on her with another cast member. So that fell through. And now he's dating someone that doesn't want him to have anything to do with Christina.
Yeah, Albert Vargas tweeted a hilarious tweet at me about, like, having, like, when Brandon said that he's, like, not gonna let any of these little sluts, like, get in the way of his perfect relationship with his perfect girlfriend, that, like, he could hear me reacting to it. And fair. But my biggest issue with Brandon's little meltdown here is when he minimized the relationship, when he was like, it was a 1 month thing, like, that's it, you know, whatever. It was not just a 1 month thing. She was going to move there for, you know what I mean? Like, he was like crying on national television about her, and they're on the show longer than 1 month. So, like, don't give me that.
Absolutely.
I can't stand when a guy like dogs someone out like that, because if you're really over it, like, if he was really completely over it, he would have no issue validating the relationship. Like, here's how a healthy person talks. Like, yeah, like, we had something great. Like, it didn't work out. Now I'm with someone I really care about. Period. Yeah.
And even more so, just from a game aspect, like, he 100% the Are You the One people have to try to stick together if they're going to have any chance of making moves. So him distancing himself from a team and showing that him and Brianna are fighting, like, that's not a good look early on. Or I guess they didn't know that he was with Brianna at that point. But regardless, they had to all stick together.
Yeah. And in fairness, like, Christina also did one of my major pet peeves, which is when an ex talks shit about the current girlfriend, like, blaming the girlfriend for warping his mind. But he did seem a little Stockholm syndrome-y.
A little bit. But we don't have the full story.
It was creepy. I'm sorry. Like, if anyone said, like, I have the most perfect girlfriend and none of these little sluts are going to get in the way of that, like, I would break up with them on the spot.
There you go.
Or it screams like his girlfriend didn't want him coming here, so he feels like he has to justify, like, every second, like, how good she is.
Yeah, go over the top of how good she is, yeah.
But what you were saying is, like, that they have this huge scene in front of all the veterans, which makes them look like complete clowns.
Right.
And it's just like Nate not jumping out of the plane. Like, the vets are just looking for a reason, and they don't even need one, but they're looking for a reason to throw you in, and all you need to do is just not give it to them.
Yeah, the target's already on you, and now they're just having a reason besides the fact that you're rookies to say that, all right, you're going in.
All right, so Emily Crow says, as someone who didn't watch Are You the One, what's the deal with Brandon? It's my what's the deal with airplane food joke. Was he like this before, or did his new girlfriend lead to his bizarre behavior?
No, he's a very cocky individual. He thinks he's the best at everything. This is, I mean, that's why I'm surprised that you thought this is different. Like, this is exactly what he did in Are You the One. Every time they had, like, a challenge, he's like, oh, I know all this. Anytime they were doing the matches, like, oh, everyone listen to me, I got this all figured out. Like, him and Devin are very similar.
Yeah, I don't even mean that, like, the cockiness didn't surprise me. That's why I was like, his intro was like, you know, textbook Brandon. But this moment with Christina, I mean, he was pretty emotional on Are You the One also. But I don't know, it just, like, felt, like, extra. Mm. And I don't know that he was, like, this strung out. But I don't know. I mean, look, it's, I mean, he just basically had a complete meltdown where he was like, if you break up with someone, you shouldn't have to talk to them. Like, I don't have to talk to you. Like, what? You know, it was just like he went haywire. And I just felt like if he was real secure in his relationship, he wouldn't be doing this. So I don't know. I do think the girlfriend has something to do with it, whether he's just acting up for her benefit or if she's right. like really a tyrant. I don't know.
I mean, it could be both. I mean, that could be why they're together. And that they're just very similar in that.
Yeah, fair. Billy Gross says, does Tony have competition from Brandon for the title of biggest douchebag on the challenge, or does he have that title firmly secure?
To me, Brandon and Tony are just very like different types of douchebag, right? Like Brandon just like the typical douchebag, cocky asshole guy. Tony's like the suave playa douchebag that I like enjoy watching on reality TV.
See, that's I totally agree. Actually, I didn't think about that, but that's like that there are just different levels of douchebag. But I feel like Tony's fake suave, like somehow it works for him and he gets girls to like him. But it's like because he's a good looking guy. But when he talks, like there's no smoothness. Like he's a complete babbling idiot.
That's very fair. But yeah, it's almost like an idiot charm. Like he's like, oh, look at Tony with those little eyes. He's talking like an idiot. He's so sweet. And then he does his Tony moves.
Fair enough. The thing about Devin, because we didn't really see Devin, but normally Devin would probably be put into this conversation for anyone who didn't watch Are You the One? Mm-hmm. I almost feel like Devin is a small fish in a big pond.
Very much so.
Way out of his league. Whereas on Are You the One, for anyone who didn't watch, Devin like was like the savviest camera knowledgeable like douchebag on the show and just ran train on that season. And here he is like barely able to get a word in with this crowd.
Mm-hmm. And it's not surprising. I mean, even back in the day, like all the big studs had to work their way up the ladder. No one just jumped on the scene. It was like the mastermind power player. So if this is hopefully he can build a little traction over these first few episodes and then start building ground. But this wasn't going to happen from the start.
Do you think that Devin's going to be able to, I was going to say grow because I call him a small fish, but do you think he's going to be more of a presence?
I think I think it would be better if he tried to wait a couple episodes to like try to build something outside of Are You the One. Like, I do think them hooking up with Wes would be the best move for them. And then if they're smart, try to like overrun the leader and then take over and cut Wes's throat. Like, that's the move for them. Not try to be on their own and try to run things, like attach yourself to a veteran and then cut the veteran's throat. So hopefully that would be what I would do.
That's the thing, though, is like we got zero of the Wes banana story. And I think it's because, like, if you look, like, Sarah and Wes have a great relationship. Nani and Banana seem to have a good relationship. During the challenge, Sarah and Bananas are cheering on the same people. I think it was Nani. Mm-hmm. And, like, I actually think this might be a season where we see them work together.
Well, that's two things about that. First, we didn't get really anything because we didn't get a deliberation. So we don't really know where anyone's allegiances lie after this episode, which is weird for after a premiere. We don't know where anyone lies, but we don't. But I kind of thought that too, because Wes's like opening line was basically, oh, I hate seeing Bananas here. You know, we're always on the opposite side. So that just kind of like put a lump in my throat. And I'm thinking like, maybe this is actually the season where they realize of how many newcomers there are and they have to actually work together.
It might be like the just sheer number of Are You the One people right. and rookies in general mm-hmm. that they don't really have a choice, but we'll see. I mean, who knows? Maybe because the Sarah and Banana story is so big that they didn't need to fill time with Wes and Bananas.
They decided to fill time with reintroducing us seven times.
So Emily Crow wants to know, will the house be divided between the Are You the One contingent and the Vets and Bloodlines group? Should someone like Corey go with the Are You the One people?
I mean, I can't really even say yet because we don't know where anyone, we don't know where any dynamic is. Like, we haven't seen any talking, any collaborating, any. The only thing we've saw is Are You the One trying to get together and everyone falling apart. So I don't even know what section Corey to go to because I don't know what the sections are.
Yeah, I think the Are You the One group is kind of a disaster. I think a lot of times the rookies have trouble banding together because they want to get in with the veterans. So it's like, why make this big rookie alliance? Also, when they have so much dissent amongst them, I mean, that's hard to overcome. I also think so. Colin Stone, who hosts the Dom and Colin podcast, brought up an interesting theory to me that in this situation, it might behoove a team who doesn't get along to kind of split sides of the house, because then it's like, oh, you're almost harmless to both sides, to both teams, depending on who's putting someone in. So like, to me, he was saying like, okay, Bananas and Sarah are in a great position because if Wes leads one side of the house, Sarah's tight with Wes, and Bananas will be on his other side. So it makes them more, it's easier to keep them around. But to me, it reminded me more of Kellyanne and Anthony on last season, and that it's more like, it's beneficial to pairs like Avery and Leroy, or really Johnny and Jess, where Johnny will be in with Johnny Bananas, and depending on what happens with Tony, Jess will be in with a different side of the house, and then they're both kind of harmless and can go under the radar potentially on their respective teams. So that's kind of where, like, not getting along might help you. What do you think of that as a strategy?
It's a risk, because if you don't get along, people may be like, I don't want to deal with these two yelling at each other, so let's just vote them in and get rid of them. So I think there's the risk of that, especially as a newcomer. It's like, they don't know which one to pick from. So like, all right, well, just pick the two people fighting. Let's just get rid of them.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily that they would be like verbally fighting. Like, if you, the only time I can think of it is like Kellyanne and Anthony last season. Like, they weren't coming to blows, but Kellyanne was in with Dario and the Rookie Alliance, and Anthony was under Banana's wing.
But was Kellyanne doing that for strategic purposes, or just to hook up?
No. I'm just saying it happened to work out like that. Right. But if that, because it's like Matt Singh, like an intentional Matt Singh in Survivor, like that didn't start out intentional, but maybe you developed that as a strategy in prior seasons. So you're not fighting with each other. You're just on opposite sides of the house, and potentially that gets you under the radar in a couple of weeks.
It could.
All right. So we have a question about, I'm getting to the end of my margarita here. So Rebecca Morgan, moving on to the skydiving portion, says, so Nate didn't get penalized at all for not jumping out of the airplane.
Was that a, is there a question?
Question mark. I didn't do the inflection.
No, he did not. Other than, like, I guess getting a target on his back, but there was no direct punishment.
What do you think of this as a thing?
I think it was just used to be like, oh, look at the challenge, skydiving in the premiere. I think they just assumed everyone would do it. I don't think they thought anyone wouldn't do it.
That's fair. I actually liked this as, like, it's unclear if it affects you, because Nani even mentioned, like, I don't know if I don't do it, what would happen to me? So that almost pressures people to do it. You don't know who your teammate is, or how the team, potentially, you don't know how the teams are even divided. And while it doesn't count for anything, it, like, definitely sets the tone. So it's like, oh, man, like, the people who did it come off, like, with adrenaline, and they're all hyped. Nate and his partner are, like, at a major, major low. So I kind of, like, I didn't like how much time it killed, but I liked it as a concept.
Right. I mean, I was fine with it. I thought, like, they would try to turn this into, like, the intro, where now every time they start the show, they'll show everyone jumping out of the airplane as, like, their picture. To go back to, like, the old school ways where they have, like, ritual tribal dances as their intro. I thought they would maybe have, like, a skydiving intro now. That's what I was hoping for. But no, it was just random skydiving.
I mean, I just love that when they get down, TJ's like, I only counted 25 of you. Who didn't jump? And then when Nate raises his hand, it's like pause for a PA to come in and tell him what Nate's name is.
Yeah, exactly. They shits all over. Wow, you only get one chance to make a first impression. That was not good, bro.
And then we get just, like, the most boring segment of TJ introducing the rivals. And one thing here is, like, they definitely were told they weren't allowed to act excited, because some of these pairs would have been stoked.
Well, I don't know, because sometimes they do. Like, I remember in the first rivals, when Paula was told her partner was Evelyn, she basically started doing cartwheels. So maybe after that, they were told they weren't supposed to act excited.
Oh, I don't mean, like, every time they're told. I just mean in this moment, like, none of these people acted excited. Some gave, like, forced eye rolls, but, like, there's just not enough bad blood in this group where not one person would have been happy to have their partner. Like, I'm sorry, Wes is happy to have Nani as his partner. Nani's probably even happy to have Wes.
Right. There's also just, like, who would you be super excited to be as your partner? Like, if you wanted to be, like, super excited, like, oh, nice, I have Laurel as my partner or whatever. But, like, all right, great, I've Camilla is my partner. That's good. It's not bad, but I'm not, like, super happy. And if I don't like her, it makes me happy. It makes me upset.
Well, Kellyanne would be excited. Ashley and Corey seem like they probably would have been excited. Avery would have been excited. Like, I mean, there's just, especially when you compare it to the field, right? We always talk about, oh, there's no Laurel, but you only have to beat the people you're with. So if you have a decent girl or you have a decent guy, that's good enough.
I guess that's fair.
And then there's more banana shit, blah, blah, blah. Liz Irwin says, does bananas, and this is, I feel like, the only time we're going to take a question like this for anyone who didn't listen to last season's podcast. But I'll let Brian repeat what we've said. Liz Irwin says, does bananas actually have a leg to stand on in his bitterness? Should Sarah apologize, or would that just make it worse because she's then admitting she did something wrong?
He doesn't have a leg to stand on. She shouldn't apologize. She should keep owning her move because it was the right move. And if bananas doesn't like, he shouldn't have lost the elimination.
Mic drop.
Yes.
I hope that came through.
It sounds like you just dropped your mic, so perfect.
So Haley Strong says, is Bananas going to be a damn baby all season long?
I think so. And it's going to suck. Counter
theory, Eric J. Williams says, is Bananas playing to the cameras with his hatred of Sarah, or is it real? I think he's just playing for camera time.
I think it's mostly real. I think it is real. I don't think he's just, maybe he's building up a little bit, but there's definitely a lot of hatred there for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I probably would have given him half credit here. But after listening to the Brain Candy podcast, Sarah's hatred for him is so real and she believes his hatred to be extremely real. So after listening to that, like, I don't think he's just playing it up for the camera. Then after they distribute the money,
I feel like they say it's the biggest cash prize in MTV history every single year, and every single year doesn't seem like it's $350,000. I think it's been $350,000 every year for the past like six seasons, and every time TJ says it's the biggest one yet.
Well, I feel like third place on Devin's season got like 15 each. Like right now, when they announced that third place gets 25, I thought it was each. Like they get basically 12.5 grand if they finish in third place. After taxes, they get like $6,000.
No, it's like minimum wage. It's like minimum wage.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And I honestly think the first place could have been 250 and like distribute that 25 around the bottom tier because it's like ridiculous. I agree. Yeah. I mean, it's just like The Bachelor is always like the craziest season yet. This is like always the biggest prize pot.
I want them to jack it up already. Like they should be doling out 500-600 grand. And like, this is worth a lot more than everything else, or deserved a lot more than what other prizes they give. So,
well, I would like to know how much they pay their cast compared to other reality shows. So, like you could, I mean, they talked about actually money on the Brain Candy podcast, so that was in my notes for later. But like, I don't know, like you can stand to make a lot of money by just staying on the show and not getting to the final.
Yeah, but that's one thing I've always wanted to know.
Slightly more on that later, but not much more. So Sean Pino says, so after we get the money breakdown, we get like a couple of people saying what they would do with the money. And Sean Pino said, do you guys find Nicole funny on her confessionals? So far, loving her. Quote, I'm gonna get my dad some Botox on his forehead because he needs it, and a pair of boobs because I want those.
Yeah, she's someone I said I was hoping as like a good second time around after she goes on TV, does it once, sees herself and makes adjustments. Like, I think she's going to be a very good addition. And I think she's off to a good start.
I mean, I don't think she had like a piss poor first showing, but I think this is, we're just getting like more and more Nicole here. Mm-hmm. I like that line. I thought she was funny.
Yes, very funny.
We have another question. So after the skydiving, like nothing occurs.
No, nothing. Other than Simone saying, don't lie on me instead of to me. So that's a new one.
Oh, yeah, that's back at that. I meant like nothing happens on the sand. TJ just like dismisses them.
Yeah.
But yeah, don't lie on me. That was a big moment. That made me uncomfortable, honestly.
Have you ever heard that phrase before? Don't lie on me.
I feel like I've heard that like from another MTV show.
So it's just an MTV.
He's lying on me. I heard that before. It was some crappy show that I watched. Definitely had that on it. But a couple of things happen back at the house here. So we get another flirtation between Jess and Tony. And Emily says, so he's like making a list of the hot people in the house. And Emily Sue said, so at this point, Tony knows Madison is pregnant and is still making a list of people he wants to hook up with. Is he just a terrible person or is it for TV?
He's just a pretty terrible person. And I love that he's just running back his same move he did last time. Didn't he do this exact same thing with Christina last time where he was running through the top hottest girls in the house?
I feel like she initiated, like she was going to everyone saying like, who's your top three?
Oh, so maybe he stole it from Christina and now he's using it for this season.
I actually shockingly thought this was like pretty harmless because he's like, he is using it to flirt with Jess, right? Because he's putting her like as number one or whatever, or number two. I don't remember. But he also is then like them bananas. Definitely like he's being flirty, but I wouldn't have taken this list like seriously.
No, but he's also probably a terrible person because him and Jess are 100% going to hook up.
Oh, like everyone who's listening to this knows where I stand on Tony. In this particular moment, I felt like it was fine.
There you go.
And then this killed me with Jamie and Ashley. Jamie has a confessional listing off like 1,000 things he likes about Ashley. And Ashley just is like, he seems normal. It's like, talk about a low bar.
I mean, that's to be fair, that's probably a high bar for the challenge, though, to be normal. So he passed that.
This kind of goes into the don't lie on me thing, but not in the way you might expect it. So we got so many questions about Mitch Watch. For anyone who's joining us this season, Mitch was Corey's cousin who was on last season. And you could count on, if you looked in the background of almost any scene, Mitch doing something absolutely ridiculous and better than whatever was going on the main stage. So that became Mitch Watch. So we have a couple questions about that. Randy Nupple says, how disappointed with the lack of Mitch Watch are we going to be all season? Who are the background characters to watch this season? Alex Fischler and Edward Morris also basically asked, who's going to be Mitch?
I don't think there is a Mitch. Mitch is a one of a kind dude. You don't try to replicate him. You just enjoy him for a while you have him.
I had a similar reaction. So I was like, Mitch is so multifaceted that it's like, this could mean so many things. So Edward Morris's question was, who will be this season's Mitch? Now, does he mean like, who's the person to watch in the background? Who's the Mitch watch? Or it's like, who's the lovable nerd? Who's the person you start out liking the least, end up loving? Who's the person you underestimate the most? Like Mitch could be any of these things. The Mitch I would underestimate the most and think, and then end up liking, I would say right now is Ashley.
Oh, I love Ashley already, though. She's great.
Right, but similarly, it's personal. It's your own personal Mitch. You know, find your own Mitch.
Find my own inner Mitch.
But your inner Mitch, I don't know.
Well, the person I hate right now is Simone, so sure, I'll go with Simone.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I totally, as Cheyenne's parents taught me, took a brick to Mitch's head in my cast preview last season. And then I loved Mitch. So, like, Ashley, I was, like, not too thrilled with just being announced as on the season. And now I'm starting to like her. So that's my Mitch. I also, the reason I brought this up here is in this don't lie on me moment, Leroy steps in, says relax to her. Simone loses her shit. And Leroy's like, yeah, you're right. And just walks away. And it's like this beautiful, beautiful side moment. I encourage everyone to go back to your TV and watch it. It made me think, I wrote like, Leroy watch. And then I saw all of these questions and I was like, Leroy might be a Mitch to watch out for.
All right. Leroy's in the Mitch watch territory. Sure.
Just in terms of like watching someone do something in background. Like if you think about it, like Leroy, when Zach was saying all of those misogynistic things on the security camera, Leroy, I believe, is the one asleep in the top bunk. Like there, in a way, there's been Leroy watch all along.
He's always usually just a chill guy in the background. So, all right, we can. He's monitor. He's a person to watch. He's not in there yet.
He's a person of interest.
Yeah, he's a person of interest.
So, Kristen Kinnar says, so Jamie is Ashley's brawny challenge vet. What? Didn't see that one coming.
He's definitely brawny, so. But again, this is what we meant by like, we have no idea what vet means. Apparently vet means you're not a rookie. So there you go.
And rookie means only one. Now, so Jamie and Ashley hook up, which is great for me in fantasy, but not in my fantasies, in fantasy league. Can you explain how Corey says he's seeing four sets of tits in this? Sorry, I whispered that. I don't like that word. I realized I'm on a microphone. I just felt uncomfortable. Is Corey saying that Jamie has man boobs? What is he saying
here? Yes, absolutely, because he's so jacked that his chest looks like tits.
But that didn't get explained at all. Like, you figure Corey would be like, well, with Jamie without a shirt off and Ashley, I'm seeing four sets of tits. Like, he just said it, and we were expected to totally understand. Like, I was like, does Ashley have, like, a deformity I don't know about?
I mean, that would definitely make Ashley a very unique person for the show.
All right, I have nothing else until the actual challenge.
No, we could jump there. Other than Libra and Bananas having a weird moment with Icy Hot. But yeah, sure, we can then jump to the challenge.
Yeah, I mean, I thought here, like, it was a great moment. This was a great segment of, like, how much fun the challenge can be without Bananas and Sarah's stupid drama. Like, you know, we had Ashley's react. Basically, everyone reacts. Like, Jess is telling Ashley, like, we all watched you hook up and... Jamie's being told, like, you had to pick their bathroom with the windows. And they're, like, playing it cool. They're laughing. Ashley's very funny about it. And then we see, like, fun-loving, like, pranks between Leroy and Johnny with Icy Hot. And I was just like, wow, this is great. Let's not get back to Sarah and Bananas.
I know. Well, that even just not even without them. Like, the challenge, like, can be a super fun thing because they do a lot of goofy, weird shit. So, like, that's what I've always wanted them to go back to showing.
Yeah, show me more Icy Hot in Leroy's butt. We love it. We love it. But the challenge.
Challenge. Give me some slack. Should I describe it?
Please.
You have the male teammate holding a rope that is attached to the female teammate. They have to grab 5 skulls that are hanging over a ledge that is 400 feet in the air. And if they lean too forward, they'll fall off and crash and die into rocks. Or the rope will catch them and bounce them back up.
Yeah, all I would have said to describe this was it's how I imagine real life Hi-Ho Cheerio to be. That's how my brain works.
Okay.
The basket really got me. Like, the budget was so low. It's like, here's this basket we got at Pier 1.
I was super disappointed that no one missed it. And, like, the skull, like, just fell and it didn't count. Like, I can't believe that didn't happen one time.
Fair. And they were, like, clay skulls, so they were ready to shatter.
Yeah. And that would be pretty dangerous if it just, like, fell all... I guess there was no one under there, but still, it's a little dangerous.
Yeah, being, like, 1,000 feet in the air on a rope, it's a little dangerous.
No, I'm not even worried about that. I'm worried about the skulls.
You're worried for, like, the skulls.
Yeah, like a passerby or like a fish just kind of swimming along and then a skull hits it in the head and it dies.
Oh my god, that's hilarious. Yeah, the big standout here, really, and I always, like, zone out when they have, like, the full slate doing the challenge. It gets a little boring for me, but, like, the real standout here is Jenna, and by proxy Jenna and Vince.
Yeah, I mean, they killed it. I mean, this is the exact
5 points.
Yeah, this is the exact type of challenge that I get pissed about, that I can't just condense it. Like, why can't they just have, like, six teams going at once? Like, this went on for so long and it's the same thing over and over, and if it was, like, for 30 minutes, like, this is, like, where the challenge needs to, like, smarten up and be like, all right, have this be 3 rounds. Yeah, exactly. Have 3 rounds, however many teams there are. Was it 13, 14 teams? So just break it up like that. The fact that they did it in 2 teams in allotments every time was so long.
Well, it's budget. It's safety. It's budget for the safety. And it's like, you can't... Do you want them to make the prize bigger or put more money into the challenge? Either way, they're not doing either one.
Both. Just spend more money.
So Mandy Siebel Bass says, does Vince's good performance in the challenge mean that he actually might have thrown those challenges last season?
One step closer to giving more credence to that theory. I still don't buy it, but this challenge didn't hurt that theory.
And Edward Morris says, was this the anti-Vince fail or more of a Jenna win? So who gets credit here?
I think Jenna gets more of the credit, but also just Mandy just... For her height, I think that played a huge factor. But also, I mean, for that last one, she was, like, as stiff as a board and somehow got pulled back up. So, I mean, I think they both did very well. Like, I think Jenna, in the beginning, Jenna's bigger part. But by the last one, like, that had to be all Vince just pulling her back up. Like, Jenna was just, like, a surfboard, just, like, leaning forward, grabbing the skull, and Vince pulled her straight back up. So that was very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we saw a lot of the women complain that their male partners were, like, pulling them too hard or pushing them. So we can't just say it was all Jenna. I mean, clearly Vince could have screwed this up or not done well. Andrew Kirk, who feels differently, said, I know it was 95% Jenna for winning that first challenge. But what would be a better hashtag for Vince? Hashtag non-Vince fail? Hashtag Vince didn't fail?
I said hashtag Vince succeed. Why can't we just be positive?
Yeah, I was going to say it's just a hashtag Vince win.
Yeah, Vince win. That's even better. Yeah.
So then here, the other headline for me was Bananas allegedly, potentially dropping Sarah here after Three Skulls. And to me, whether he did or not, he's a total hypocrite. Because in the beginning, he says, I keep getting brought back because I take losing seriously. I really don't like to lose. And, like, you remember when I lose because I'm so upset about it.
Which, by the way, that was the exact quote from the Rounders. So I don't want him getting credit for that quote. That was from the Rounders.
Okay. Regardless, he's
just
completely...
Rounders. I should have got to stop taking the just Rounders. Continue.
He's completely hypocritical here because he loses purposefully. or at least... claims that he lost on purpose here.
Right. I mean, that is
so much for taking it seriously.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he did, but even if he didn't, the fact that he's hinting at it is very hypocritical.
Any other headlines for you here with the challenge?
The only other headline for me is based, like, this is totally based on, like, the fantasy draft rules. I thought we were getting the draw this season, but that doesn't seem to be the case.
Yeah, we still don't know what the jungle is because TJ has not revealed the name of the elimination.
But they said Johnny and Jess are definitely right. Going in, and then the winning team is voting someone in. So unless do they do the draw starting like the second episode?
No, I understand what you mean, but we don't know that the jungle is the elimination. So what they said was if you pull a white skull in the jungle, we don't know if the jungle is an after elimination. Like, we don't know what the jungle is.
True.
Because TJ keeps calling it elimination. He doesn't call it the pit or the jungle.
Maybe they're doing the what's that thing called again when they had the web series?
Exile? I don't know that that's it. But I guess we just don't know what that was referring to. There might be a reason that they left it off before deliberation. Like, maybe something's going to change.
Honestly, it's also very possible that they're just going to reuse these rules over and over again, and the draw is not going to be in this season, and they're just going to have these rules for the next time the draw is in.
So the other thing here is, like, inexplicably, Leroy, like, has a pinched nerve in his back, which is related to the Icy Hot incident. And Megan Elizabeth says, do you think Leroy's back injury is going to mean he gets to use the survivor term medically evacuated from the game? I love me some Leroy, but I can't see him doing a lot of these strenuous challenges with a pinched nerve. Sounds super painful.
Chekhov's Icy Hot. You see Icy Hot in one episode. Someone's got to get medevaced in another one.
It's weird that we're hearing about it, right? Because it didn't affect his performance at all.
Mm-hmm.
And all we really got from Leroy was his pinched nerve. We didn't see him get it. We don't know if it was from skydiving. We don't know if it was like a pre-existing condition. I meant to look up how long a pinched nerve lasts. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't pretend to be one. I'm not Debbie.
In which case, we think maybe Nelson and his mystery partner who's been in the previews would replace Leroy and Avery.
I mean, it keeps the demographics the same, right?
I don't know. It's like, talk about a raw deal again for Leroy.
Would it be the first time that either him or his partner got kicked out? So,
except, actually, I shouldn't say raw deal because he did get screwed last season. But the other seasons, I mean, he got, like, so much benefit. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he literally had a partner be replaced, like, before the finale. So, yeah.
He's even Steven.
Right.
We have some follow-up questions. So, yeah, we basically left off, like you were saying, winners are going to vote someone in. Apparently, Jenna and Vince are going to decide, and that's it. So we got questions I didn't pull. Because I didn't want to go down this hole. I hope this isn't the case. Do you think that we're going to get, this is teeing up, multiple episodes of To Be Continued?
I'm hoping not, but I feel like for the next episode, I don't see how they don't. Because they need to have a full deliberation and an elimination before we even get to recycling for the second episode.
Well, you know how they do that.
How?
A medical evacuation.
It's possible. There you go.
So maybe they get to the challenge, someone gets eliminated, and the second half of the episode is Leroy leaving.
I'll say this. I don't think the challenge is really that... I don't know. Maybe I'm totally blocking stuff out, but I feel like if they have a to be continued, they don't normally have multiple. I think they're good at resetting.
So I believe two seasons ago, we went through like a really dark period of multiple TB continues. And then last season, it was like one and done.
I guess I'm blocking out. I thought they usually are pretty good at resetting it.
I don't remember. I really do feel like there were like three in a row. And that's why like we get questions about it.
Oh, that's
but
true.
I could be wrong.
Maybe. I don't know.
It's been known to happen. I've been wrong before and I will be wrong again. all right. So just some general questions wrap this up. I don't even know what I'm saying. Nick Sabetta says, who do you think Vince and Jenna are going to send into the elimination?
I think the easy vote would be Nate and Christina, right?
Yeah, I mean, It's possible it could be Simone and Thomas, but I don't know why you'd take a shot at a vet who's not threatening. But they do. Thomas had like a contentious relationship with Bananas on the last season. So it's possible, but I do think it's likely to be, like you said, Nate and Christina. Mm-hmm. Billy Gross says, which rookie had the best first episode of the challenge?
Definitely not Nate. who had the best first episode? I have to like quickly look through this quick cat. Well, I got Ashley. Oh, 100% Ashley. There you go.
So Jillian Nicole says, which veteran got the worst luck in a partner? My vote is for Thomas. That's what she said.
I was going to say Thomas, too. Simone's pretty crappy.
Can we stop acting, though, like they're not equally matched? Like Thomas is some phenomenal partner. And people come to Thomas's defense. He never got to compete in an elimination, blah, blah, blah. Like Thomas is no prize.
I feel here's one. If Jamie's considered a vet, I'll say Christina got a really raw deal because I don't think she's that bad. And getting Nate is a really raw deal.
Oh, I think you're saying if Jamie's a veteran, then Christina's a veteran. Yeah. No, that's fair. Yeah, Nate is a baby.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to, like, I'm not saying I'm going to jump out of an airplane, but I'm also not signing up for the challenge. So if you're going to go to the challenge, you have to be up for doing all this types of stuff.
And also just depends on who you like. Like, if you don't like Avery, Leroy got a raw deal. If you don't like Jess, Johnny got a raw deal. Like, if you don't, you know what I mean? If you don't like Tony, Camilla got a raw deal.
No, just one, no one likes Jess, so.
Except for Tony.
Yeah.
Jeremy Burris says, first of all, happy you guys are back. You were, woo-hoo. You make work bearable on slow days. Thank you. Second, I forgot how big a douche Tony was. For the question, they gave Are You the One players a chance to make noise. Do you think they will band together? Maybe a West-led alliance or peter off? We kind of answered this, but like we had to read the compliment.
I mean, I think they do have a chance to make noise or be someone you don't want to face or all those things.
Sean Pino, this is a very interesting question. Is it me or does Ashley remind you guys of the new Tanya of this challenge era?
Yeah, I saw that comparison floating around. It's not bad. Yeah, it's just a complete lunatic mess. Yeah, it's definitely possible.
Yeah, she's a hot mess who like slurs her words, but she does seem pretty like chill. Like just the way she responded to everyone having looked at her, like she was like, oh, I'm gonna do it again, like sorry mom. I don't know, it's like very early Tanya or not Tanya at all to have that reaction.
Actually, she's a little self-aware. She's like, am I crazy? Yeah, of course I'm crazy, but everyone has to be crazy to go on a reality TV, so she's got a little self-awareness.
So AJ on Twitter and brought this to our attention, but Allison Smith wrote a question on Facebook live chat before the show premiered. Nicole, Nani, and Bananas confirmed that Brianna, Jenna's cousin, hooked up with another one of Jenna's exes. Nani said something about Jenna introducing a guy she was talking to Brianna, and that same night the guy and Brianna hooked up. Just wanted to hear your guys' thoughts/comments.
I wish there was videotape so we could see Jenna's
reaction. That's creepy.
Jenna's reaction. Let me finish.
Sorry, when someone says let's go to the videotape on a hookup story, my mind only goes one place.
I'm not piercing in through the windows of the bathroom.
I mean, I just want to play Bad Blood right now because that's what they have. I mean, it's just like, you know, you can't choose your family.
I mean, it's only
you can
a matter,
choose not to be around them.
It's only a matter of time for Brianna to hook up with Zach. Like, it's happening. Like, but that's like, well, the horrific. First time she's in a room with him, she's gonna try to make it happen.
All right, Tia Town Sean says, girl rant. Can we get less man narrative driven confessionals? Banana saying Sarah did him wrong shows clips of exes too. Sarah saying Bananas has done it a ton of times shows nothing. No clips of him screwing over Paula, Nani, Camilla, etc., etc. The editor's again on his side with the whole girls can't play the same way as a guy. It's just gameplay. It's just gameplay. Her, she's a bitch and a horrible person. Discuss. Brian, could you please mansplain to her how it's totally fine that they're doing this?
I mean, I disagree that the edit is depicting as Bananas as the good guy and Sarah's the bad guy here. I think Bananas is looking like a petty loser.
He is to rational people, right? But they aren't showing. I totally agree where she's coming with what she's saying, just in terms of
showing the clips.
They're
would
not
have been
showing
nice.
The clips.
Yeah, that would have been good. Showing him screwing over Paula would have been nice. But the also thing with that was kind of wasn't all Kenny, but that was a lot more of a Kenny led thing. But I mean, Bannon was definitely in on it, but like that wasn't strictly his move.
And this brings me right into my coverage of the Brain Candy podcast this week. Do you have anything else on the show?
No, I'm good.
So somebody tweeted at us like, oh, they did a show about challenge secrets. So I again stuck my hand into the Brain Candy jar. For anyone who doesn't know, you know, I have to plug it, I guess. Susie and Sarah Rice from this season of The Challenge and past seasons of The Challenge do a podcast where they talk about random things. Sometimes they talk about The Challenge. I got a lot of shit. I got a little shit for last week. People love the show. That's amazing. Listen to the podcast. The more the merrier. It's great. It just wasn't for me the way that they were talking about bananas. I again felt like after listening to this, it's just not for me the way that they talk about things. But that doesn't mean it's not for everyone. Our show is not for everyone. Okay. The reason I bring this up in response to Tia's question is Susie mentioned that she was working with MTV on something, and she asked them how come they never show old clips, and that they mentioned because there was a formatting change in television that they like actually can't show clips from certain seasons back. So I don't know how far back that goes, but that may be part of it. Now The Bachelor shows old clips and just has like roses on the side to cover in the rest of them. So right. It can be done, but I guess that's just like MTV's response. So maybe that's why it may not be them favoring bananas. It may just be they don't have the formatting for the clip.
There you go. There's an interesting answer.
What else? This is like, and look, I crap on people, so it's like takes one to know one. Maybe I just don't like them because they're so similar to me. But Sarah starts talking about Simone and it's just like, she's the worst, I want to smack her. And then she talks about how like your life isn't that bad. This is amazing. So basically they were talking about how Simone's career is like, she does like a radio show. Now this is a podcast that they're on, that they're talking about. Sorry, that they are on. I'm hearing this from their podcast. Sarah then says, quote, call me when you're 30, married, and doing real people shit. Like, as opposed to a podcast? You know, I don't know. Like, it's just like a very holier than thou, we're better than you. And it's like, okay, so like the only difference is that Simone's not married. So that's like real people shit. Anyway. So that's the end of my rant. They again talked about bananas. That Bananas is a cheater again, that MTV is protecting him and they don't know why, because they have footage, they just don't air it. And that Bananas and Nani hooked up the entire season on exes, how his girlfriend deserves someone who doesn't cheat on him because she's nice, blah, blah, blah. And then they started talking about money a little bit. So Susie said that her first challenge, she was given $4,000. Now, her first challenge was 1,000 years ago. And she said that if you've been on 1 to 3 challenges, as you were saying, you get between $1,000 and $1,500 a week and you're guaranteed 4 weeks. So even if you go home before that.
Interesting.
And then Sarah started saying, like, once you've done a certain amount, and Susie cut her off and was like, you're under contract, you probably shouldn't say that. But one thing that was of interest to me is Susie said that she was going to be on Rivals 2 or I think it was Rivals 2. I forget which one she said she was supposed to be on. But there was a discrepancy with what they were willing to count. So there were two challenges, one that was like small and one that was like 6 weeks long. And they were unwilling to count that as prior seasons. And so it would have bumped her up to the higher bracket. And because they wouldn't count it, she refused to do it. And they said, too bad. So it's interesting that there's discrepancy in what counts as a season.
I wonder what doesn't count. That's weird.
She said it was like a road rule. Like it was like, you know how they used to have like before that they used to have like mini. Shoot, I'm forgetting the name of it. I should have written it down. But it was like one was like a road rules explore event. Like it was mostly a road rules thing.
Right.
And one was like a small challenge. It might have been like a spring break. I don't remember. I'm sorry. But it wasn't like Rivals 1 doesn't count anymore. You know what I mean? It was like kind of ambiguous. And one thing that made me think of is like, I wonder if getting to the next tier stops them from bringing people back. Like, I wonder if how much money it is. Like, this is Thomas's third season. If he doesn't like show his money's worth, will this be his last season brought back? Like, I would be curious to see how many people were not brought back after three seasons.
That's fair. No, that's a fair question. If they keep bringing Bananas back, obviously he warrants a certain amount of money. Maybe that cuts into the budget of who they can also bring back.
Yeah, so this, you haven't listened to Brain Candy Podcast. This, unfortunately, is going to be my last listen to the Brain Candy Podcast for you guys. But let us know if they say anything interesting and continue to enjoy it. No shade.
All right, there you go. Yeah, let us know.
And then the draft.
Yeah, so our draft.
So I want to say that thank you to Megan Flannery and PJ Gahan, who volunteered to help coordinate this with me. I've went to them twice for clarification this week, and it's pending, as I told them, your final review.
Okay.
So the non-starters were Vince won the challenge, 10 points for you. Jenna won the challenge, 10 points for me. Ashley and Jamie got to the business, 10 points, both of them on my team. And both people who are headed to elimination also on my team, so I lost 5 points each for Johnny and Jess. Didn't hear you killed it. Obviously, no one won the final. But you did say in our podcast, I thought this was pretty interesting, you picked Simone in case they show her throwing anything on anyone.
There you go.
Which led me to say, shoot, do replays count? Are we counting replays? So I went straight to Megan and PJ and just said, no bias, didn't tell them who I was talking about. I actually hadn't seen the episode yet when I sent this, and just said, are we counting scenes that they replay? Both of them said no.
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, fresh stuff.
So we're not counting that. But I did go to them after watching and said, we specifically said if anyone lays a hand on someone else, that is 10 points. And Brianna gives full starfish face palm to Brandon. And I'm like, it's funny because we literally said lay a hand. And that's right. Literally what she did aggressively. So I went to Megan and PJ, and they have awarded you 10 points for Brianna. Yeah. And that counts as violence, unless you're going to disagree.
Well, so does that mean Bananas putting Icy Hot on Leroy gets points, or is it?
No, it's not touching someone. It was aggressive. They ruled that
an argument, putting your hand on someone.
They felt that the context was and the action was aggressive.
Okay.
I feel like whatever they say is just going to go.
Yeah, unless I adamantly disagree. Yeah, I'm not going
to
argue.
So that brings us to a straight tie. 20 points for you, 20 points for me.
There we go.
I like that it's just so few things.
Keeps it simple. Yes, keep it simple, stupid.
Who are you calling stupid? Okay. That's it. That's all I have.
All right. That's all I got. Episode 1 in the books.
Send me pictures of you listening to this drinking margarita. In my dreams, everyone is always drinking margarita while listening to this. And that's not working or riding a bus or driving.
Those are the very specific dreams. Sure. Send the pictures of margaritas to enjoy Cinco de Mayo. We'll be back next week. Episode 2. You can follow me on Twitter at BusDriversRoute.
Follow me at LashTweets.
And once again, you can subscribe at rapiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Until next time, have a good one.